When our values are under assault, when our sovereignty is invaded, when our Constitution is in tatters, when political correctness is on the march, it's time to mobilize. The war of ideas has begun. Welcome to the Arsenal. Welcome to the Chris Kobach Show.
I can't believe the news.
Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710, where the number is 576-7710. To join the discussion, you can dial that 913 area code or 816 area code 576-7710 to opine here. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the announcement on Thursday by the Obama Justice Department, by Attorney General Eric Holder, that he's suing Texas, making an absurd argument. There's no way that he's going to win in court. I just have absolute confidence that this suit is going nowhere, but they're bringing it anyway. You have these ridiculous ACLU-style arguments constantly peppering the briefs of the Justice Department. He's suing Texas, claiming that the adoption of photo ID was intended to discriminate. It is intentionally discriminatory, that racial discrimination is occurring in Texas because Texas has adopted its photo ID law in 2011. And that law hasn't even gone into effect yet because the Justice Department was slowing it down for the past 2 years by refusing to pre-clear it. Well, the pre-clearance process is now no longer the law, the list of pre-clearance states. The Section 5 still exists, but there is no pre-clearance list of states. So, in effect, pre-clearance is now gone. Texas is now being treated equally to the rest of the states, except for the fact that Attorney General Holder is picking on Texas and going after them, claiming that their photo ID law is racially discriminatory, and therefore there was an inherent attempt to discriminate on the basis of race. What do you think? 576-7710. Let's go to the phones. Next up, Jeff in Prairie Village. Hey, Jeff, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Hey, great show, very funny. I'm really enjoying what you're saying here.
Okay.
the idea that African Americans are voting in higher numbers because now they feel that the voting process is secure because of photo ID is the funniest thing I've heard in a long time.
Have you ever lived in some of the more rotten boroughs of the Deep South, some of the counties that have been dominated by corrupt systems?
No, I haven't.
Well, I've talked to my fellow secretaries of state from states like Alabama and Mississippi, and they tell me that there is still a great deal of suspicion of these were places that during the Jim Crow South were run by corrupt systems, and you know, not,
uh-huh.
And then when the racially discriminatory laws went out, they continued to be corrupt, but the corrupt people in charge were just of a different party, or in some cases a different skin color. But the point is, they don't trust the system, and so at least in those parts of the country, when you get photo ID, more people have greater confidence. And I don't think that's, you know, true in Kansas and Missouri so much, but, you know, there are parts of the country where you bring photo ID, you bring in some, you know, enforcement of the rules, and people start to gain some confidence in the system that's been gone.
Hey, Chris, that is so wrong.
I'll take the word of the Secretary of State from those states over your word, but go ahead. Why?
Well, because... They're not saying, listen, when I go in and I show my ID, then I know that I voted and I know it's going to count. The suspicion is against the counters, not people showing up.
The suspicion is that someone will vote 50 times and there'll be a wink and a nod and the person will, you know, show up in multiple places, or that ballots will suddenly appear out of nowhere. When you have a process.
Yeah, ballots appear out of nowhere, and the winking is if you know someone and he gives you 50 ballots, that's not, in other words, that's the system that's corrupt. But anyway, if you could find an African-American group that says, we are so happy that we now have voter ID, and that's why African-Americans are voting in numbers. My sense is, and I could be wrong, my sense is they're voting because they're angry about these voter ID laws, and that's their way to fight back.
I can prove you statistically wrong. There was a poll done by Survey USA in Kansas in 2010, November, and it was broken down by different racial groups. The support for photo ID requirements among African Americans was approximately 80%. So 80% of African Americans wanted photo ID laws, and the support for proof of citizenship laws was at 92% among African Americans. So according to your logic, I guess those the people who answered the polls, they didn't get your memo.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, I've seen the response, and I think African Americans are more concerned about losing the race. But let's move on to Texas, which is your second funny joke. You and I both know that there is no evidence that photo ID stops any measurable or statistical fraud. You and I both know that. And the reason
I have
we
presented
know that
evidence
is
to the
you
contrary.
You've done a study that shows 235 cases between 1997 and 2010.
Yep.
And according to you, I haven't seen the study, according to you, only one or two of those involve someone voting in the place of someone else.
Right.
Those
okay,
are,
let me,
that's what you told me.
That's correct. That's correct.
But you
haven't gotten to the rest of it. In person, voter impersonation, where I walk up and I say, you know, my name's Jeff from Prairie Village, and where I try to impersonate you, only one of the 235 cases was in-person impersonation. However, the other form of fraud, which are among those 235 cases, is creating a false identity. I walk in and I register 10 people at my address at the county election office, and then I try to vote those 10 identities. Well, I don't have 10 IDs that match those fictitious identities, so voting fictitious identities is another form of fraud, which is also on that list. And that
how many of the 235 were those?
I can't remember the exact number. There are multiple cases, and they were coming out of one county. I'm thinking it was Pottawatomie County, but I can't remember
so
for sure.
So there was one instance where someone did it
County. No, there were multiple cases from Pottawatomie County, but I can't remember the total number of cases. So
okay.
Multiple, but I don't know.
I'm curious to know because my guess is out of the 235 cases, the vast majority of those were people that were voting in two different areas. But
the two biggest crimes, the two biggest voter fraud crimes among those 235 cases were, you're right, double voting was one of the big ones where they vote in two jurisdictions in the same election. Another one was very common in Wyandotte County, over 50 cases of people falsely requesting somebody else's absentee ballot.
Right.
You know, falsely applying for the ballot and then either intercepting it at the mailbox or just sending it to the person hoping that they'll vote the right, you know, what the person thinks is the right way.
So even giving you your doing multiple registrations from one address, it's still not statistically significant.
Sure it is.
And so here's the thing. No, it isn't.
Significance.
I counted 10 million ballots approximately from 97 to 2010.
But that's not that,
10
that's,
million ballots
that's irrelevant. The question is this.
Right.
Are there any close elections? Yes or no? Yes. The answer is yes. There are close elections all the time. In fact, we just had one in Kansas that was decided by a coin toss because it was a dead tie. So anytime there's a close election, say 10 votes or less, then one or two or five or 10 cases of voter fraud is statistically significant because it can steal the election. You don't compare it
problem.
To the total number of ballots cast over a 13-year period.
Yes, you do. Of course
what?
You do.
No, you don't. Why would you do that?
If it occurs, because if there's one instance every 40,000 votes, in order to have there be a possibility of five votes, you have to have 200,000 ballots cast. So in this
but voter fraud doesn't occur randomly.
Five.
Voter fraud occurs for a purpose, Jeff. If you're thinking random, like lightning strikes. But no, voter fraud occurs in a specific close race because they want to steal it. It doesn't just happen any old place. Like take this Rizzo-Royster race in North Kansas City. It occurred there because there were efforts by a group to engineer the election. It doesn't occur just all over the state equally.
Because he got his relatives to vote for him.
Well, and he also got some non-citizens to vote for him, too. I'm not saying he did
you know
it,
what?
But somebody
there's
did
a,
it.
There's a paper. That was just the pitch, and they said there's no evidence that those are non-citizens. They may not be. I don't know what it takes for people that are brought here legally to get citizenship.
Well, anyway, let's go back to your point. We're getting
okay,
way
let's
off
go to it. Texas. Now, here's the other thing on Texas. So here are two facts. So I've already, you and I can agree to disagree that voter fraud isn't an issue. The second issue is that photo ID laws don't discriminate, and I'll give you that. So, going back.
Wait, I just want to make sure. You actually agree with me on that? That photo ID laws don't discriminate?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Well, I appreciate that.
So, in fact, let me ask you this. You said on your website there were 789, something like that, votes where people didn't show ID, and then like 300 came back, and then there were like 400 that didn't come back. And you were doing a check to see how many of those had driver's licenses.
Yeah.
What was that number?
Out of the 838 people who the numbers are these. Out of the 1.2 million people who voted in November 2012 in Kansas, 838 didn't show an ID. Of those, 306, I can't remember, about 300 and some came back, and showed an ID during the week after the election and made their vote count. 500 and some, did not. We then checked the 500 and some to see if they had driver's licenses. The vast majority of them did. So that means they.
What's the vast majority? No.
All of them, but about 30 or so. So
30 people were disenfranchised.
Those are current
licenses.
We just checked driver's license. There are about a dozen forms of photo ID that you can still use. So then we took the 30 or so people and we sent them questionnaires to see and offered also to help them get a photo ID if indeed they didn't have one. Turns out virtually all of them had a photo ID, just not a driver's license. They had a photo ID that would have worked. So far we found a grand total of 2 in the entire state of Kansas who didn't have a photo ID in that election.
So we found 2 in one election and we found 1 case of voter fraud in 13 years. So I think it's,
but again, Jeff, they could have gotten one.
Voter fraud isn't a problem.
No. They could have gotten one. Those 2 people could have walked down to the county office and got one. They could have gotten one easily.
It's the process, Chris. That's the problem.
Why is the process the problem?
Well, because it takes people time to adjust to changes. And so a better way of implementing this law would be to say, well, we're going to pass it in 2010. In 2012, we're going to check IDs, but you can still vote without it. And then in 2013, we're going to check IDs, but you can still vote without it. And then in 2014, we're going to check IDs, and if you don't have it, then you're out. That gives people the chance to get used to what the requirements are.
I listened to your show
one time when someone, and again, as your last guest said, you have the smartest audience out there, and a woman from Kansas City, Missouri called up and said, I've lost my license, how can I vote? And you had to explain to her, it doesn't apply to you. These are the kinds of things that have to happen.
Well, I appreciate your effort to find a way to maybe, in your mind, make photo ID acceptable, phasing it in over a period of time. But the bottom line is the phase-in wasn't necessary in Kansas. We were successful in letting everybody know that the law had changed. And indeed, people in Missouri were seeing the ads on TV, thinking that their law had changed, too, that photo ID was necessary. But bottom line is, look, the fact that Holder is attacking Texas, there has to be a reason, because he could attack any photo ID state. So we've got about less than a minute left, Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff,
okay,
tell me, why do you think
Holder?
Why do you think Holder is attacking Texas?
First of all, was he also questioning the redistricting of the state?
Yeah.
Was that part of the lawsuit? Okay.
I don't know if it's a separate suit or if they're wrapping them all
together. But there is that lawsuit as well.
Yes.
And so here's my guess on the photo ID, because I don't think it's discrimination. But if you were going to try and prove racial discrimination, why not choose a state that has a history of it? That would be the reason I would choose Texas.
Right, but
they have a history of racial discrimination.
Right.
And so it would be easier to prove it there than, let's say, not that Kansas doesn't have a history,
the short answer to your question is, though, to bring a Section 2 case under the Voting Rights Act, the history of discrimination is irrelevant. You have to show that they're discriminating right now. Now, you might say, the judge is more likely to find it if the judge knows in the back of his mind that there was a history.
Yep.
Possibly.
And that would make a lot more sense because of the 2 people that might, or the 10 or the 12 that might try and do this out of the 34 million in Texas. He's not doing it because he's trying to get an edge. I can guarantee you that.
Okay. Well, that's your opinion. Hey, Jeff, we are out of time for this segment. Thank you so much for the call. Folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
KCMO, Kansas City's home of Sean Hannity.
The standard of living, the median family incomes in this country are dropping. America's credit rating is falling. Our deficit and debt have reached unprecedented levels because they never would do this, never would conceive of doing this. What's happening in terms of spending deficits and debt to their kids or their grandkids?
Hannity, weekdays 2 till 5 on KCMO, Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM. Talk in Kansas City, KCMO, Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
With all the talk of quantitative easing, bailouts, and changes in the regulatory environment, many have concluded that the markets and the economy are nothing but the result of all the interventions by the Fed and the government. My name is Chris Butler, investment manager at Butler Lands and Wagler, and I'd agree that the Fed especially has had a tremendous influence over both the markets and the economy. However, investors need to understand that the true health of the economy still matters. How? The economy still determines the underlying value of all investments. Yes, the Fed can drive up prices of stocks, bonds, and other investments over the short term, but only changes in the real economy can change their underlying values. Go to investontrack.com and download the free report on why the economy still matters. You'll learn how to use the economy to make better investment decisions and maybe even spot the next bubble. Again, to find out how and why the economy still matters, go to investontrack.com and download that free report now. That's investontrack.com.
Hey, this is Greg Knapp for Window World. You know, they're the original $189 window guy, simply the best for less. You've heard me talk about them for a long time, and it's for a good reason. I love the way they do business. I've been out and met all the people at Window World, all the way up to the owner, and I love their philosophy. It's simple. Say, Greg, if we can overserve the customer with a quality window, any size white vinyl double-hung window for $189, overserve them with a quality lifetime transferable warranty that covers all parts, glass, breakage, and labor, and overserve them with service to the point that you can get letters of reference from your neighborhood on people who love what we've done for them, then all of our customers are going to be so happy with what we do, they're going to tell everybody they know. And that's how we built our business. And that's why nobody sells and installs more windows than Window World. Call them up and tell them Greg Knapp told you to call. 816-799-0820. 816-799-0820 or windowworldkc.com. It's 816-799-0820 for Window World.
Be honest, will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-441-1454. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-441-1454. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-441-1454. That's 1-800-441-1454.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
KCMO, Kansas City's home of Michael Cetovich.
Nonsense.
Weekdays 8 to 11 on KCMO, Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Go Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7. We're talking about the Justice Department on Thursday declaring war once again on Texas and suing Texas to try to stop Texas's photo ID law from going into effect. Well, the other development happened right here in the state of Kansas on Wednesday, and it involved yours truly. I announced that Kansas and Arizona were teaming up, and we are jointly suing the federal government. Specifically, we are suing the Election Assistance Commission. Now, you might think, why? What's the Election Assistance Commission? And why are Kansas and Arizona teaming up to sue the federal government? The answer is this. Kansas and Arizona are two of the four states that have proof of citizenship laws when you register to vote. And so the Kansas and Arizona secretaries of state and the states themselves are suing the Election Assistance Commission to order that commission, or to ask a judge to order that commission, to change the federal voter registration form so that proof of citizenship is required in the instructions on that form. You see, there's two, broadly speaking, two forms. Each state has its own form, and the vast majority of voters in Kansas, more than 99% of voters, sign up using the state form. That's the form that they give you electronically when you register to vote at the DMV, and that's the one you're most likely to see if you see a voter registration card lying around. But there is this 25-page federal form. Yeah, you heard me, a 25-page form, one of the reasons why people aren't so keen on using it, that you can register to vote that using this form that has all of these state-specific instructions on it. Well, anyway, the Supreme Court ruled this past summer, in June, in the Arizona versus Intertribal Council case. They said, well, the federal form right now doesn't require proof of citizenship for any state, and the states have to use it because the National Voter Registration Act says states have to accept and use the federal form, and that means that if someone wants to use that form and not have proof of citizenship, they can. Enter Kansas and Arizona. We are suing the federal government to change the federal form so that you can't use that loophole to register to vote without proof of citizenship. And the interesting thing is the blueprint for our lawsuit was sketched out by none other than Justice Antonin Scalia, who wrote the majority opinion in Arizona versus Intertribal Council. Scalia said, and get this is where so many reporters did a lazy job and didn't catch what the opinion was. Scalia said a state has the right to determine the qualifications of its voters and to ensure that voters meet those qualifications. In other words, require proof. A state has that right, not just in the abstract, but it's spelled out in the Constitution of the United States in Article 1, Section 2. The court never said that a state can't require proof of citizenship for registering voters. But Scalia said, well, a state has this right. However, there is this federal statute, the National Voter Registration Act, and it says states have to accept this federal form. So he says the answer is for the states to demand that the Election Assistance Commission change the federal form. Voila, problem solved. The constitutional right of states to control their elections, and specifically the qualifications and proof of qualifications of voters, is satisfied, and the 1993 National Voter Registration Act is satisfied. But here's where it gets a little interesting. The Election Assistance Commission doesn't have any commissioners. It's a four-member commission that for the past couple of years doesn't have any commissioners. It's kind of been caught in a partisan deadlock in Washington. And so the executive director of the commission says, well, we can't approve or disapprove Kansas and Arizona's request for proof of citizenship on the federal form because we don't have any commissioners to approve or disapprove their request. That's essentially their argument. And so Scalia lays out in the opinion, he says, well, if that's the case, if they're going to try to claim that they don't have any authority to do what they must do when Arizona requests, in that case, but when either state requests, then there's a constitutional problem here because the states have a right to require proof of citizenship. So that is the lawsuit that we brought. But it's more than just a lawsuit that was, you know, laid out and triggered by the Arizona versus Intertribal Council decision this summer. It's a lawsuit about states suing to enforce their rights as sovereign states, in this case, the rights to control our elections. And I think it's a good thing when you see states standing up to federal abuse or federal incompetence, or anytime states are standing up to enforce their sovereign rights. And it's okay with me if liberal states stand up and try to sue the federal government over some conservative infringement. I can't think of one on their rights, but well, you could argue, someone could argue that drug, you know, federal drug laws, that was one argument made 10 years ago. But the point is, it's okay. It's a good thing when states stand up for their rights. All right, we'll talk about it when we return. 576-7710. What do you think here on the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710?
Are you starting your day with the KCMO Morning Show and Greg Knapp?
I got this text again. Greg, the evidence we've lost our freedoms is quite evident. So are you saying love the NSA spying or leave it? No, I don't understand this all or nothing stuff. Are you listening to the show? I don't like what the NSA is doing to individual American citizens. But I do want them gathering information on foreigners.
The KCMO Morning Show with Greg Knapp. Weekdays 5 till 9 on KCMO.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. President Obama evaluating what to do about the Assad regime's apparent use of chemical weapons against the Syrian people.
We spoke with the French president, François Hollande, today. According to the administration, the two discussed possible future responses by the international community, and they agreed to stay in constant communication. Just yesterday, the president also spent more than 40 minutes speaking with British Prime Minister David Cameron. They agreed the crisis has been upgraded. It now warrants a, quote, serious response.
Fox's Elizabeth Prahn, a wildfire near Yosemite grew by 7 square miles overnight. Even though water and power supplies for San Francisco are some 150 miles away.
It is a concern of ours. We have crews out there protecting that resource to defend it from any type of fire that may come close to it.
Cal Fire's Mike Mueller, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Your KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
It's going to be another toasty afternoon with temperatures climbing to about 93 degrees, sunny skies, and southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. As if that wasn't hot enough when you factor in the humidity, it's going to be feeling closer to about 95 to 98 this afternoon. For tonight, temperatures will fall into the mid-70s with clear skies and southerly winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Haley Schulman.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, on cholesterol medication. A $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company is priced $21 a month.
Call 1-800-914-2995 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-914-2995. 1-800-914-2995. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey, folks, Dave here. Did you know kitchens and bathrooms are the most used rooms in a house? During their 40-plus years in business, Mr. Remodeler has helped countless homeowners keep their kitchens and bathrooms looking great with the latest designs, styles, and colors.
We couldn't be happier with Mr. Remodeler. The Mr. Remodeler crew bent over backwards to satisfy our needs. They really went out of their way to be sure everything was the way we wanted it.
Make your home a more comfortable place to live. Let Mr. Remodeler's trustworthy design experts put the proper solutions in place for your family.
Your company has done 3 projects for me, and they all came out great. The workmen on the job were exceptional. I was extremely happy with their knowledge, attitude, workmanship, and interest in the quality.
So if I can help you, give me a call. Missouri, 453-3049. Kansas, 362-7166. And on the web, MrRemodeler.com. Thanks.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick.
And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn today...
The only thing I didn't learn... is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now 103.7 FM. He's the ACLU's worst nightmare because he knows the Constitution and fights to keep them from making confetti of it. He's Chris Kobach. And this is the Chris Kobach Show.
Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the big news this past week in Kansas and Arizona, the two states teaming up to sue the federal government, specifically the Election Assistance Commission, and demand that that commission allow us to demand proof of ID for all people registering to vote, including people who use the federal form, as well as the vast majority of people who use the state form. Anyway, looks like a very high probability win for both states, because the Supreme Court has already said this is a suit that the states can and should bring, well, can bring, if the Election Assistance Commission doesn't accede to the requests of these states to maintain the integrity of their photo ID, sorry, their proof of registration system, proof of citizenship system for registration. 576-7710, what do you think about this lawsuit? What do you think about the Holder Justice Department attacking Texas on the photo ID issue? Interesting how all of this is unfolding at the same time. Let's go first to Craig in Prairie Village. Craig, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you in a minute what I think about that, but I have a real question and concern the way our laws have changed over the years. When I was 16, I had to go in here in the state of Kansas and provide my birth certificate to get a driver's license.
Yeah.
That was back in 1966, you how old I am. And then, because of the birth certificate, that also showed that I was a citizen because I was born here in this country.
Right.
You know. So, anyway, I had that for several years. My folks got transferred to Utah. I dropped out of college, didn't know what to do, and I went to Utah.
Uh-huh.
And actually got a ticket on campus with Kansas tags and a Kansas driver's license, so I had to tag my car and get a Utah driver's license.
Uh-huh.
I had to provide my birth certificate again, even though I had a valid Kansas license, and that would have been about 1972 or 3, somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah.
Well, I came back here to Kansas in 1974, had a valid Kansas license, and they wouldn't accept my Utah license, and I didn't have my birth certificate, but I was born in Jackson County over at Old St. Luke's,
uh-huh.
So I went down and got a copy, and then I could get a Kansas driver's license. So three times in my life, for a driver's license, I had to provide my birth certificate.
Yeah.
What happened to 40 years later where you just walk in? I mean, today when a kid's 16, do the parents even just say, I'm vouching that he's 16, or they have to provide anything? I'm asking. I don't know.
The answer to your question is you're right that most of the states stopped requiring birth certificates to obtain a driver's license. I don't know when they stopped, maybe the 70s or 80s. But the good news, in my opinion, the good news is that in the this last decade, after Congress passed the Real ID Act of 2005, states have now been required by a little congressional nudging to start demanding proof of citizenship again. So in Kansas now, if you get a new driver's license, you're a new applicant, you have to prove your citizenship. And so people are bringing their birth certificates in, people who are 16 or 17 or whatever age they are. And that also helps when they register to vote, too, because it suffices that birth certificate can be transferred over, or the recognition of the birth certificate can be sent over to the county clerk or the county election officer to register them to vote. So the short answer is the state and most of the states are moving in that direction so that they are starting to require proof of citizenship, i.e. birth certificates.
So we're going back to what worked 40 years ago because
exactly.
We had too much fraud in the system. And I want to say without a photo ID, there's too much room for fraud, irregardless of what Jeff says. And the fact is without a photo ID, you can't track fraud to the degree you can with a photo ID. Now, to go to the state of Texas, it's, to me, blatantly, Eric Holder is, again, the Department of Injustice, not Justice. He is looking for any excuse he can to control Texas and their voters. Because if the Democrats and the liberals can control Texas and set it up to the way they want it to be, and Republicans lose Texas, there's no way possible that we can ever, Republicans, conservatives, can ever win a national election. So that's my thought on why he's going after Texas. It's not with redistricting. That's been done by both parties, right and wrongfully, for years in gerrymandering. I mean, I don't believe in that, but that's what's happened, and there ought to be a better way to do it.
Right,
like
and I think the you know, Jeff made the point that you're responding to earlier. Jeff said, "Well, Texas had this history of, you know, back in the Jim Crow era, had a history of discrimination in voting, but so did some other southern states, and Holder isn't going after those states. So my, I think you're exactly right, Craig, that he's going after Texas for other reasons,
and this is one of them. Yeah, and there's counties in the state of New York that fall under the same law
sure.
that Texas and the others did. So, I mean, it's very selective harassment to me, and it's obvious what the ultimate goal is.
Yeah, and well, and the bottom line is, regardless of his goal, he's infringing upon the right of the states to control their election process, and I think it's good that Texas is fighting back, and I think it's good that Kansas and Arizona are teaming up to assert our rights as well.
No, I think I have to give you kudos again, and Arizona and Texas, anybody that we've given up too many of our state rights to the federal government under the Commerce Clause and all kinds of, I just don't understand how they've expanded it to the point they have.
Well,
I'm a simple citizen, and you know, language says X to me, but my God, you're a lawyer, and you can read 10 things into it that
I can't. The Constitution should say X and mean X, and it did mean X to our founding fathers. It's just the liberal lawyers over the years who wear black robes who have made it mean Y when, in fact, it means X.
Yeah, one thing that irritates me, you were on the phone or on the show with Greg Knapp the other day and said that it's unfortunate Congress cannot sue the, you know, for a lot of things that are going on, that you have to get a citizen that has standing.
Yeah.
And the thing is that's amazing to me. But if that's the case, you know, I'd volunteer to be that citizen, except I don't have the money to fight it, you know. And if something's wrong where the Congress doesn't have standing, because they're also citizens, and yet, too, the Sierra Club was granted standing in a lot of these EPA suits. They don't really have to prove standing. All I have to do is file a suit.
Well, it's interesting how sometimes the, a lot of lawyers, both on the left and the right, you know, conservatives, activists, whatever, you know, lawyers will note that sometimes these standing decisions somehow coincidentally seem to work in the, you know, a case gets dismissed by a judge who would have dismissed it had he gone to the merits anyway, or would have, you know, ruled against the plaintiffs on the merits. The standing rules are, well, I could do a whole show on the standing rules, but the bottom line is, we ought to have a way to challenge a law that is blatantly unconstitutional, or to challenge an act of President Obama that is blatantly unconstitutional. And sometimes when these standing rules are drawn so tightly that nobody in the entire country can sue, then we have a problem because our Constitution is being violated and there is no recourse.
You're all right. And, you know, you know, the history of Texas having, Jim Crow laws and poll taxes, that was 50, 60 years ago. That's why the Supreme Court said, you know, that might have been true then, but it's not true today.
Yeah.
And in fact,
one of the great things about the Supreme Court's opinion when they, you know, struck down this process for those states is the Supreme Court said, actually, the Chief Justice noted, actually, the state that has the worst participation rates among African-American voters is Massachusetts, a New England state. And among
Absolutely.
The best are some of the states of the Old South. So the notion that somehow, you know, these states of the Old South are doing poorly today on that metric is actually incorrect. They're doing very well. At least some of them are.
Didn't Eric Holder threaten to sue Kansas under the new law? And that's part of the reason you and Arizona decided to put your suit in first?
Well, the ACLU is threatening, and the League of Women Voters are threatening to sue Kansas. Eric Holder hasn't threatened to sue us yet, but he has, of course, expressed displeasure with our Second Amendment Protection Act, but that's, you know, he's always threatening states for one reason or another. And funny how it always seems to be the more conservative states that get threatened.
Let me ask you the question you asked your audience. I told you why I think he's going after Texas. Why do you think he is? I mean, why do you think Holder's going after him in your opinion?
Well, I think the same reason. I've mentioned it. I thought I mentioned it briefly at the end of one of the previous segments, and that is that, you know, Texas, there are some Democrats who have this 10-year, 20-year plan where they think they can eventually, you know, turn Texas purple and put it in play. And that, of course, would, as you noted, Craig, would change the whole calculus of presidential elections. And, you know, I can't figure out any other reason why they would be so aggressively stopping Texas from, you know, tightening up its election system against fraud. And I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not 100% certain, but I think that's a pretty good reason for wondering why they're going after Texas using Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act when they could make equally frivolous cases against some of the other states of the Old South, but they're not doing that. So what is it that's so special about Texas?
Well, no, that's if you'd said that earlier, I'm sorry.
I didn't elaborate on this earlier. What state also has a huge illegal alien population that, if given an amnesty and then given a extended track to citizenship that, oh, interesting, is about a 10-year track to citizenship, suddenly would have newly amnestied voters who are disproportionately members of the dependency class, already 71% of illegal alien households using welfare. Once they have legal status, they would have greater access to welfare programs, probably go up from there. So perfect tailor-made dependency class voters who will vote for the party that increases the welfare state. Again, it all fits perfectly well together.
Well, I can't argue with that. I believe that logic and past history of the Democratic Party and liberals just reinforces that.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'd like to see an alternative explanation that makes sense for why Holder is hitting Texas so hard. But anyway, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it, Craig. Let's go next to John in Kearney. John, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Yeah, hi, Chris. I have an alternative on the voting. I think it's they want the illegal votes.
That could be. Then why are they going after Texas so hard then?
The same reason that has been mentioned, and you may have mentioned earlier, because Texas is such a key state.
Yeah. So going after the illegal votes, and in particular in Texas.
Slightly different topic, but, I mean, it's related. I think people should have to have an ID to vote because voting is important. And that kind of draws a line there. So, yes, this is as important as buying cold medicine, as getting on an airplane, as going to the bank, doing almost anything, almost everything requires an ID. Paying with credit card often requires an ID.
Yeah, anything where the process itself is important and is something that people might want to fraudulently mess with. So cashing a check, getting on a plane, where there are people who have an incentive to abuse the process and what they are doing is important and demands security, voting should be right up there at the top of the list.
Exactly. You know, it seems like the liberal approach is everything that really seems to be important. They want to actually devalue by making it easy.
Interesting.
For example, they scream about the main reason college is so expensive is because the feds are dumping so much money into it, I think. And yet they want universal access, so they want to make it easier. Well, it demeans the meaning. It eliminates the meaning of it. Hmm. If it's easy, what's the big deal of having a degree?
Well, you know, I don't think that showing an ID or not showing an ID changes the ease of voting. It's everybody's carrying one anyway, and statistically, that's proven. We've shown in Kansas anyway that, you know, virtually the entire population of the state already had a photo ID before the law, and it was awfully darn easy to get one after the law went into effect. Well, hey, I appreciate the call, John. We're going to take a break. Folks, we'll continue talking about this after the break, 576-7710. You are listening to The Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710.
KCMO Talk Radio, where Kansas City connects with a Dave Ramsey Show.
Don't wake up the day after Christmas with this horrible headache that feels like a financial hangover, where you go, what have I done? It'll be May before we pay off these presents. Make a list and check it twice, because you're not in Congress. You have to live on less than you make.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays 9 to 11 a.m. on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Now FM at 103.7.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. This report reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. And it beats the pants off any IRA or 401k. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. www.bankonyourself.com.
Think carrying 10 or 20 pounds of extra weight isn't much? We went to a park, handed 10 and 20-pound sandbags to people aged 45 to 60, and asked if we could follow them around.
10 pounds makes a big difference.
I'm carrying this around? It's an eye-opener.
A few extra pounds each year can cause joint pain and lead to serious chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease.
Kind of makes me want to cry because I think this is the amount of weight I need to lose.
You would think that it wouldn't make that much of a difference, but it does.
No wonder my back hurts.
And a lot of those aches and pains we blame on aging could actually be caused by extra weight.
I didn't realize that this is what extra weight on the body feels like.
And if this is what I'm carrying around, that's heavy.
You can easily put 2, 3, 4, 5 pounds on in a year.
It really does creep up without your knowing.
Wouldn't you like to drop that weight and stop picking up more? Visit hhs.gov/1pound at a time to find out how. Because while obesity happens 1 pound at a time, so does preventing it.
Oh, I definitely felt in my knees.
Brought to you by HHS and NIH.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Quash.
Hoo-hoo, Jashkin. I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
to make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in for you.
Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Greg Knapp.
Coming up Monday on the show. Remember that KC streetcar lawsuit? It's back. And is Governor Rick Perry trying to hurt Missouri? The Secretary of State thinks so. We'll get to it in the KC Mo Morning Show.
Welcome back to the Chris Kobach Show on KCMO Talk Radio 710. Well, a lot of people want to talk about this. Kansas and Arizona teaming up to sue the federal government to protect our proof of citizenship law. Meanwhile, the Holder Justice Department suing Texas to try to stop Texas's photo ID law in its election process. Let's go to the phones. Next up, Mike in Kansas City. Hey, Mike, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
I know you're short on time, so I'll make this real fast. Medicare and Medicaid services require photo IDs to access. I hope Jeff knows that. And also a little bit of Jackson County history.
Yeah.
When Pendergast was in there, voter fraud was rampant. And they use exactly the same arguments that Jeff uses, you know, that there was no fraud. Rabbi Meyerberg and the Clean Government Coalition came in the late 1930s. They cleaned up the elections. And the whole timbre of the county changed. The only way the left can stay in power is by fraud. And I'll give you two good examples. Oregon. In Oregon, the Democratic Party goes to the homeless areas and actually buys the advanced voting certificates. In Oregon, you could have a park bench as your legal address. So they get probably 5% of the vote is these early voting that they get from these odd sources. And the other one is Colorado. Colorado is not as far left a state as it appears, even though you got the Denver and Pueblo and Fort Collins corridor. People who live in Colorado say that voter fraud is rampant over there. People vote, you know, it's the same thing. It's all organized.
And I'll tell you, I know the Colorado Secretary of State, Scott Gessler, very well, and he would love to have photo ID, but of course the liberal legislature won't give it to him because it would help them get rid of fraud in their elections. Well, hey, Mike.
I get one little side note.
Yeah,
I'll say one real quick thing on Colorado. Yeah, real fast. Colorado is a child molester's dream. It's got the most lenient laws on child molestation. And when they tried to tighten them up last legislative session, the head of the Senate, the president of the Senate, blocked it consistently. So gives you an idea of what the left does when they're in power.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. We got to go. Next up, Fred and Lee Summit. Hey, Fred, you're on with Chris Kobach. What do you think?
Real simple. I mean, they're definitely going after Texas because remember back in the day, California was very, very, very much Republican.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if this is kind of tied into the immigration stuff, the immigration bill they're trying to get through.
Yeah, I think it is. I think they want these individuals to eventually be voting.
Absolutely. Plus, there is no voter fraud. I mean, look at the last presidential election. What was that, 300 districts where Romney didn't get one vote in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida, but there's no fraud going on here.
Yeah, we definitely know that some parts of the country experienced some fraud. Whether it was enough to steal the election, that's the question. All right, thanks for the call, Fred. Real quickly, Scott in Northeast Kansas City. Scott, you got about 30 seconds. Go.
Yeah, what can you say about what's happening in North Carolina?
Well, North Carolina is another state which, you know, used to be kind of purplish in hue, and now they too want to start securing their elections. And of course, some people on the left aren't happy about that. But yeah, they have photo ID now.
Yeah, I heard a Washington Week in Review, which is a liberal happy chat, saying that they're not too happy about it. They figure it'll be defeated like what's going to happen in Texas is going to be defeated. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Scott. Really appreciate it. All right, folks, we are out of time. Appreciate you listening. Don't forget to tune in next week, next Sunday at 6 p.m. for the Chris Kobach Show, and tune in every morning from 5 to 9 weekdays for the KCMO Morning Show with Greg Knapp. We'll talk to you next time here on KCMO Talk Radio 710.